Today on our Tech for Business podcast, Todd, our COO and CISO, and Kelsey, our graphic designer and brand strategist, they're joining us to talk about the art of prompting and how to truly communicate with AI. To start off, I kind of want to hear some your most creative or useful ways you've been using Copilot in the past, however long we've had it. Anyone?
Most creative or useful?
What you found really useful or?
Sure. A couple things. One, I'll just use a quick analogy that I think I might have mentioned in another podcast, but for me, I sometimes struggle to get started. So the fact that you can just pop open Word, PowerPoint, whatever it is, and say, this is what I'm looking for, is tremendously helpful. It literally saves me hours of time because I tend to stew on things. I want to get things pretty baked out in my head before I start writing, which makes no sense because once I start writing, I start going in a totally different direction than what I thought I was going to do. So the fact that it just helps me put something together, and the example I'll use is I was writing a succession plan for a leader that wanted to grow inside the organization. I said, just give me an outline of what a succession plan looks for XYZ leader to get them into ABC role with milestones. And it's not going to do everything for me. It's not going to come up with KPIs and everything else, but it created a full outline. I was like, great. That took like 30 seconds. Now I can start writing and changing as I see fit. Probably the most effective thing that I've used it for was we were actually struggling with one of our vendors and a customer wanted us to articulate how disappointed they were with how our relationship was going with a vendor. Ended up being about a piece of equipment that they were struggling with. And they wanted us to articulate it. And essentially all I did was inside Teams, it was inside of Outlook, create an overview of how disappointed the customer base is. They're not the only ones impacted by this. And we would like to see some sort of resolution in the future. And it pulled all the context from the entire email chain that had gone back and forth 8-10 times and created a nice, really well put together email that was able to be shared with the vendor. And once we did it with very minor editing, they came back and said, thanks for this output. This is something that we will share inside of the organization when we always strive to get better, et cetera, et cetera. It just how incredibly well and detailed that one interaction that took me 10 seconds to write was amazing. I was just like, wow, this tool is really powerful if you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
I agree. Here you have all these huge, nice business impacting use cases. And I'm like, I use it campaign briefs. But I think similarly, I'm like, I think you touched on a great point that starting from nothing, right, where I could sit here and be like, oh, here's all these things that I want to say and all these things that I want to touch on and then organize it. And then just going to AI and going, write me an outline for a campaign brief. Ask me for the best possible output. Here's the rough thing. And it'll say, here's these things. Here's the things that I need to know from you. And I'll go, I didn't even think about that I should touch on our target audience or the KPIs or anything else that I would have gut said, or I would have spent a large amount of time Googling and going, what other people do? Yeah. I don't know. Is this good? Is this bad? I don't know temperature gauge if this is tracking it, but knowing that Copilot going, I've been trained on this. I got this. I'll handle this. And I was like, cool, 100%. To then to your point going, hey, then I can walk into a meeting with the other members of marketing and go, does this seem like it covers the brief of what we're doing? And then now to be able to use that brief to create a SharePoint news post has been my new favorite thing that you can go in and because you can attach documents or Excel or whatever and say, write me an internal post that gives everybody a heads up of this upcoming webinar. Here's the brief. And so I used Copilot to make the brief, fill in the things, document it up, and then go, hey, based on all that, create a communication. And it'll go, hey, team, here's all the things that you need to know. Here's the registration page. And I go, cool. And it'll add in images and do all of that for me. And so it goes from being like, oh, I could spend an hour and a half making it, or I can spend 15 minutes making it and hop down the money trail because we're right before Easter when we're recording this. So, of course, that's where my brain is at. But that's kind of like the multi-step tiers of using Copilot that I've been enjoying lately.
Yeah. I mean, there's a wide range of things that it can do, and it's amazing. And yes, including the images now and just sort of how it's branching out really gives us some interesting and creative ways to use it. let's say you're writing this, you're using Copilot to write this beautiful email. How many people are using Copilot to read that email? And now it's just AI talking to AI. You know, what point is it just, you know, not to, you know.
I didn't think I was going to work this in right away, but it depends. it does depend on some of the emails. For me, most email writing tends to be short and concise. Yeah. If it's over a couple of sentences long, I feel like it's too long. I probably need to do a phone call or some other form of communication. Mm-hmm. So I try not to do that. But there are times I did have an employee that was communicating with a customer and they sent me an email that, I kid you not, was five paragraphs long. Oof. And they were full paragraphs. And I looked at it and I was like, well, I'm going to come back to that. Mm-hmm. And then I came back to it and I was like, I'm going to come back to that. And then the third time I was like, AI, please summarize this for me.
Yeah.
And so if it gets long enough, the answer is I am absolutely going to use it. I do think it's interesting because I think I've mentioned this in podcasts in the past too, is when I travel, I'm in my car and I use Android Auto, which does great for me because there's a lot of communications that are coming in. So I use Teams a lot while I'm driving. In communications, just chats, whatnot, not like I'm trying to do FaceTime to anybody, but it ends up often defaulting to summarizing for me. Yeah. And it'll come and it'll give me the summary. And I'm like, yeah, I don't want that. Give me the original. Mm-hmm. Since I'm driving that, it can read it to me too. But I do get the summaries in a lot of those. And it's really interesting to hear how AI summarizes something. It makes me sound way smarter than I really am compared to what somebody had written originally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think too, right, just from the marketing mindset of now, we've had to go, how do we design emails that we know are going to be summarized by AI?
Yeah.
And sadly, AI is better at writing those emails mm-hmm. than I am out of the gate, because the things, right, I'm like to hop in the mobile, write Apple Intelligence, which is a separate tool. When my friends text and then it summarizes that, I'm like, that is such an odd summary of this conversation, what's going on here, versus write an email that Todd maybe used AI to write an Outlook is going to probably be more concise than the rambling of my friend's text messages. And therefore, when that summarizes it, or when I go to search for it, it goes, yeah, that's actually what he's saying. So kind of the like chicken before the egg thing mm-hmm. of like, yes, it could be AI inception of AI is just reading AI is just reading AI. But also going, if you're using AI to make your communications clearer, then you would hope that the AI summary would also be more accurate, hopefully.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, something worth mentioning here, and I'm fairly certain I have a little tangent into prompting in general, but one of the communications that I try to do with my team as I was teaching them, this was pre-AI, was when you're communicating to the leadership team, they tend to be fairly busy. They tend to be very high level. They don't want all the nitty-gritty details. That's not necessarily 100% accurate. They may want it, but they want the summary first before they decide whether they want additional information. And so I forget who it was. It was like Woodrow Wilson or somebody along those lines that had the quote, "Be brief, be brilliant, be gone." And that's really from, I know that sounds really rough, but understand this information came, that person that said that was 50 plus years ago. But the concept is still valid. And what I was trying to have people do is give me a one sentence summary, then give me three bullet points, and then give me all the additional details below it. So when I see communications, that's what I want. Mm-hmm. Tell me what we're talking about. Give me the things that are really important, and then give me all the details. So if I want it, I can go find it. You can tell your Outlook, your Word, whatever, you've been specifically saying, give me three bullet points and a summary on what this is. And now this is a little bit more advanced prompting, but as you go through this, you can tell them, you know, what's my goal? I want my three summaries. What's the context? Whatever the subject summary is. And then you can get into other things. So we kind of mentioned this earlier, but hypothetically, if you're using Copilot as an example, it has the ability to look across your Office 365 ecosystem. So you can say, please focus on email and 365 or Teams communications. And then if you wanted to do something else, is explain this as simply as or in shortest terms as possible. So that would be like a very robust process. And I'll kind of run through that real quick. Is give me three bullet points, summarize the goal of why people need to MFA everything. I want you to focus on email and Teams and write this as concisely as possible. That would be a really strong prompt that would get you a very good output of what you're looking for pretty quickly.
tip that cap to your tangent there. I was like, you led into it. It was good. It was good. 100%. I think I've said it on another podcast, and it didn't come from me. It came from somebody. I was sitting on a marketing call with somebody from Verizon, and he was like, AI is that super motivated intern. Mm. They don't know anything you don't give them. Mm-hmm. So yes, sitting down and going, write an email. If you just said to your intern, write an email, it's going to do its best and just output an email. Or it might come back to you and go, I need more information. I feel like as we've gotten down the line, it's gotten better at doing that, of going, I understand that you would like an email. What kind of email would you like? The same thing that, right, maybe go back to your boss who's ever asking you and go, great, that sounds great. No, I need some more information before I can do this thing for you. Which, yes, to the point of going, yeah, totally know beautifully. But of course, because I looked it up on somebody else's graphic that we'll throw into this, but it's goal, context, source, and expectations. Do those four, which Todd did it beautifully. I was watching him listen. I was like, you did the things. If you do those things. Yeah. And then I really like that this infographic that we pulled down says, in other words, talk to Copilot like it was your mom. Be polite. And right, that's my other favorite. Yeah. Still talk to it in a nice, polite way. Yes, it's your little AI friend, intern, assistant. But again, it's going to learn off of the language that you feed into it. So if you're keeping it consistent and using the language that you want, you're going to have better prompt output because, yes, that's just how this works, is it's learning off of the things that you're putting into it. Mm-hmm. But I was like, that's the easier way for my brain to look at, hey, even if I'm in Excel, even if I'm in Outlook, even if I'm in Teams, if I follow these things, my output's going to be really close to that outline that I can just go and use in the meeting in 5 minutes versus my stress rambling audio to my phone going, yeah, it's all these things. And then AI is going, I don't think you know what you want. And you're like, nope, no idea.
No, we'll get better as we go along.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
I was trying to figure out if we should circle back and do an icebreaker. Because when you were talking, Kelsey, I was wondering how many people say thank you to when you make a request for Google or AI in general. Yeah, me too. Every time, thank you, Google.
Yeah, I was like, I saw somebody made a meme that was like AI taking over, and they were like, but he said thank you, so leave him alone. And you were like, yeah, 100%. That's the joke that I tend to make every single time I'm showing somebody, I'm prompting something, I'm going, and we say please because AI overlords, thank you. Mm-hmm. Yep, 100%. I'm like, not sure if it's true, but whatever, knock on wood. Like, we're not getting the conspiracy, but yes, I do say please and thank you to my AI prompting and use correct punctuation. And yes, I also use an AI tool that corrects my spelling and my grammar when I prompt. So yeah, 100%.
Yeah, that is so smart. Just the language that you use is going to be what it feeds back to you, because I work a lot on social media. So sometimes I'll have a feed that's more like, hey, dude, what's up, man? You know? Because that's the language I want back. You know, I want this conversational, not as professional thing. So I've got my professional conversation for emails, and then I've got my not as professional conversation for social media. And they definitely will pump out, even with the same prompt, different things, different information, which is so interesting.
Yeah. It's interesting. As I was looking forward to this podcast, I was going, what are some fun things that I would do with AI? And I like where you're going with this, because I think one of the things you can have a lot of fun with the tools, they're great. You can do things such as say it to me in the voice of, I was going to say Deadpool, but that would be wildly work inappropriate. So you could do Ryan Reynolds instead. So give this to me in the voice of Ryan Reynolds. And it's going to be a little quirky. It's going to be a little snarky. Mm-hmm. But you can do things like that, and it'll kick out some really good information. I think I might have shared this in a podcast in the past, too, is I had a coworker that I was writing emails to. And one of the options as you're writing it, you know, it comes back and it says, do you want to keep this, replace it, revise it, whatever. And one of the options is put it in a poem. So I put it in a poem and I sent it to him. And he's like, this is amazing. Everything you send me should come as a poem going forward. So, game on.
Yes.
You're like, challenge accepted. One, and two, to kind of transition that right of kind of going, well, what if you don't know what you want it to sound like? So Todd's early example, you want a sentence, you want three bullet points, and then you want all the details down below. But right to go, okay, so am I going to look back through and go, what emails worked? Which ones did I like? How did I figure that out? Or can you use AI to go, I don't know, and yes, I'm reading off this prompt so that I don't mess it up. Look at the emails and team meetings that I have sent in the last 2 weeks. Use these messages to create a personal brand voice document that I can use to inform Copilot of my personal voice and style.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll go, hey, do these things. And then you can go, thanks, please create this as a document that captures my personal brand voice and style. And then you attach that as that doc to mm-hmm. any of your other prompts, and that's how you get it to sound like you without going into all of, right, the enterprise level, hey, I trained this and I did all these things. Because to your point, you're going, what do I sound like when AI isn't prompting for me? And can you just look at the things that I maybe sent and write it? There's certain things where I'd be like, hey, maybe some of the sarcasm that I use in Teams chats is not the best indicator of what I want to sound like.
Yeah.
All right. Again, you're going, I'm getting myself close to what would sound natural for me, because I feel like that's some of the earliest feedback when people first start using the tools is, it's great, but it doesn't sound like me.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going, well, what do you sound like? And I don't know how I would answer that.
Yeah, I don't either. I was, it's interesting as you're talking about, there's two things that I was going to tangent off of that one on was, one, I have a tendency to say similar things, and I'll just use happy birthday as an example. Like you tend to send those types of communication when they're digitally the same way over and over again. And you can use AI to kind of help that and make it a little different, like craft an email or a Teams chat congratulating the team on their 1 year anniversary or birthday or whatever. So you can kind of do things like that just to kind of make it a little different. When I read stuff, I can easily say that's not me, and I would go in and easily update things here and there. But depending on what point of view you're coming from, let's just say you're new into the workplace and you're just trying to get your feet under you to, I'll say Kelsey's example was incredibly concise and detailed, and you're just saying, I'm just doing this the first time. You can have something written up and have Copilot go in and say, make this more concise. Or turn this into three bullet points. So you can use really quick, easy prompts. Now, that isn't going to typically sound like you specifically, but it is going to make somebody who's new to the business world sound more professional, and you may catch somebody's attention just because you did that. So depending on what you're looking for may dictate whether it makes sense to develop your brand voice or not. I've been writing long enough that I kind of figured out what I said, even though I tend to say it over and over and over again. But I do also occasionally want to come across incredibly professional when communicating outside of my organization as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm not going to lie. I have a library of different brand voice documents that, right? I'm like, I have one that I based off of Simon Sinek because I was like, right?
Mm-hmm.
I like listening to him. Why do I like listening to him? And AI was like, it's introspective, it's empathetic, it's based in fact. And I was like, cool. I'm very glad. Thank you for distilling that down into a way that I can understand instead of just going, I know in my gut that I like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was hoping to push, especially Kelsey, a little bit more on this. I referenced it as advanced prompting outside of this podcast, which is the brand voice. It's the info base. It's the time and effort you put into training a model and then what you get out of it later. Can you talk to us a little bit about that process, how it changes prompting for you?
Yeah, 100%. And I think, right, that's a great, when we go from brand voice first. So first, can everything that you're outputting consistently sound like it comes from the same person,
mm-hmm.
right? It then goes from your personal level to the company level or to Todd's point, hey, you're brand new to the company. How do you make sure that you're using the correct terminology? How do you make sure that you're spelling all of your vendor names correctly? Mm-hmm. Which might be a great info base. So for the sake of framing it out in Copilot, SharePoint. It can look at SharePoint. You can do a SharePoint list. We have a vendor library. That's something where you could go, hey, we have a lot of vendors who their logo is all caps.
Mm-hmm.
But legally, when you say their name or when you write their name, not really say it, when you write it, it's just the first letter. Or, right, there's the random letter in the middle of it that's also uppercase. All of that little minutia is things that you could then say, hey, we're going to build that into an info base. Whenever somebody says, I'll name drop ThreatLocker because that's what I'm thinking of. The T should be uppercase and the L should be uppercase, even though their logo is all caps. So if you're a brand new salesperson and you're writing an email and you're mentioning ThreatLocker and you're referencing a white paper, those are all things that can be built into an info base. The naming convention, the website, the logo, the target market. And right, just think of it like an Excel table with columns. That's all these info bases really are, just giant tables of data that AI can go and pull from. And then your prompting knows, right, that's where then the prompt engineering goes in and says, hey, I'm going to have the prompt, and then I'm going to overlay the brand voice, and then the context is everything that's in the info base. And instead of doing it in a document like we laid out earlier, it's built in and it's training the model and it's doing the things to automatically do that without you knowing that you need to go and double check that ThreatLocker is spelled correctly or that you're saying the right hyperlink. Because, right, that's the next level of going in the email. Hey, draft an email, but I may have to go in and hyperlink it to the blog post, to the partner page, to whatever we have. But if the info base already has all that information and it has the podcast that Todd was on, that it was the first time he ever said, it depends. Right. I'm going, hey, if that's a transcript that's in a column in an info base, AI can go and sort through all of that data at a crazy fast speed and go, yep. On April 4th, 2023, Todd first said, it depends. Go here to listen and find out more. I don't actually know that. That's probably
okay. A flag. I'm so making that up. Wild to know.
You're like, really? No. If anything, I was going to say, if we ever get all this into an info base, that might be the first question that I ask it. It's to be like, when was the first time that we said these fun phrases? But yeah, that's kind of, it's a very large tangent, but is that kind of answering what you're getting at there?
Totally. Yeah. Because again, I think a lot of people have experience with other models like ChatGPT or Gemini, and they understand a little bit of this prompting process, but there's so much more you can do. Like I said, with the brand voice and the info base and how you can kind of take it totally to this next level.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm starting to think through, right? If we're in a Teams meeting and we co-pilot and then you do the recap, all of that is stored within Teams. So it's stored somewhere and you can go into Teams right now and prompt and say, look back through all of my meetings. Which meeting did I mention that vegan cookie? Right. Insert thing here. Then it'll go, hey, it was in this one. It was at this time frame. Yeah. Yeah. The important things. I'm trying to go and be like, it's to the masses. It's not just technology people. It's people who also eat cookies. The Venn diagram. But going through those things and going, that's when you start thinking through the info base, is if there's things that you're using across all of these different platforms and aren't just within the platform. Because I think that was my hardest learning curve getting into Copilot, is I went into Excel and I was like, I want you to do the thing. And it was like, I can VLOOKUP for you. I can pivot table for you. I can do the things that Excel is really good at. And I was like, I don't even know how to ask you those things, because I'm used to just chatting with AI.
Yeah.
So point being that the info base is kind of the great equalizer across all of the things, is going, I need to know my partner name across all of 365 instead of I just need to know what was said in that meeting, which is really only a prompt that you need to Teams.
Yeah. I'd love to talk a little bit about troubleshooting, because we've heard a little bit about AI like hallucinations, where it just sort of like makes up information, although it's getting better and better all the time. And we have been talking about prompting, but there was a learning curve for all of us to figure out the best way to prompt. So if you're kind of starting, sort of where do you start? How do you have that give and take and learning how to prompt and how to deal with those problems that come up or the hallucinations that it will pump out?
Yeah, you'd kind of mentioned earlier about doing searches and whatnot, and I still use a lot of searching for a lot of content information just as I'm starting to generate ideas. So I use Copilot, I use Google, I use you name it, I use ChatGPT. As you're going through a lot of the stuff to get started, really nice pieces about what's coming out of the content of Google in particular that I'm thinking of off the top of my head is, it will give you references to the points that it's making. So as it's making a summary of something, there will be a direct reference to where it got that information. So when you're starting to do some troubleshooting and trying to get into the details of whether it's a hallucination or not, that is an easy way to validate it. You can easily go check and say, is that really the context that I was looking for? So I'll use an example. This is probably not necessarily the right one, but since we're talking about AI, it's the only thing on the top of my head is we're getting more into agentic AI, which is really the AI starting to have agency. You can tell it to perform certain types of tasks and whether it's got the next ability to do the next step after it. As you're starting to look at that, the new terminology that's coming out with it is instead of software as a service, it's service as a software. Well, that the first time I'd heard that, I was like, I don't know what the heck that is. And so I went and searched service as a software. And all of a sudden, I've got all this additional content. I've got all the links and was great for my learning because I have the ability to jump all over the place and get much more deeper into it. But it also helps with, is this good information? Is it what I'm looking for? Is it accurate? And I'll pause on just the hallucination part and let Kelsey jump in.
No, I think that that's a great one of going. I mean, Copilot does something similar, right? Where you say, hey, look at my day. And it will say in this email, this person said this. You can click on it. You can go to it. I think I've noticed that especially when you ask it to hyperlink things, even if you think that it knows where it's pulling from or you gave it a URL in the prompt, that does not always mean that that hyperlinked URL, a lot of times it's just a placeholder. So the amount of times that I've generated content and then gone to be like, yep, copy paste or yep, send that email. And I'm like, maybe I should hover over that hyperlink first. That tends to be one of the small little hallucinations, right? It's doing the best thing and it's going, I'm going to hyperlink all of this for you. I'm so happy about it. You can technically send a hyperlink of just a hash mark just as a placeholder. Just because something looks like it's clickable does not mean that it's actually a working link that you intended to put in there. So I think that's kind of a good one to keep in mind whenever you're like, yep, make sure that you give sources or hyperlink. Be helpful. Maybe double check that some of those sources and hyperlinks are still live articles or actual links or the links that you intended or not an internal link to something, especially as we're talking in Copilot and 365 permissions is such a big thing. That, yeah, sometimes the link that works for you is not the link that will work for somebody externally. So maybe double check that first and click through some things and make sure that you're attaching what you actually mean to attach.
Yeah, and then one of the other things I think I heard you asking was how do you kind of get through that iterative process? And I think I kind of started into this to some degree. Actually, I think I went for the touchdown throw on the first example of trying to do any specific things. But I think the way that I started getting used to it was just simple stuff, right? I mean, you get put in front of the tool and you're kind of like getting behind a car for the first time is, oh, wow, that's the accelerator pedal. Let's see what happens. So you start doing things just to kind of get used to, does it do this? And really, as you start to get it, you'll be like, oh, those results were pretty bland. It really wasn't what I was looking for. And I was trying to come up with an example while I'm talking, and I don't really have a great one, but I'll use the example that I had before where I was trying to build the succession plan. And when I did the first one, it was pretty benign, right? Create succession plan for XYZ. And it cranked out a whole Word document, and it was great. It was 6 pages. But it didn't have some of the content that I was looking for. And so once you start prompting it further, saying things such as, given the fact that this individual has proven strengths in XYZ, help me project the next areas for focus for future growth. Once you start adding that additional content, you'll start to get better results. And as you start to get better results, you go, oh, now I've got an even better question. But ultimately, I think the way that kind of Kelsey had done it was, you know, on that really high level is, what's my goal? What's the context that I'm trying to do? Do I need sources? And then again, if I can do what my expectation of it is, right, is I need this to be super concise. If you can get to there eventually, I wouldn't start there because I think that's a lot to get your head around as you're just getting used to the tool. But as you start to play around with it and test it, that concept starts to make sense. It doesn't need to be a 30-word essay to start my search for AI, but this is a good way to start thinking about it. I kind of use an analogy when I help people too, when you're communicating things, is you're trying to go after problem solution results. Similar concept. You just have a couple of different steps.
Well, and I think that's still touching on such a great thing of kind of going, gee, it's all of these things, but going, some of the worst output I've gotten from AI is when I get overzealous at making the perfect prompt the first time.
Yeah.
And then I either contradicted myself or I gave it so much to do. Right. Again, if you think of it as an intern, you wouldn't just go to somebody and your example earlier of going, there was this email, they sent me five paragraphs, they're all full paragraphs, and your brain went, I'm going to come back to that later. Similar thing. If you go to AI and say, in this chat, I'm going to treat this chat as this is the one thing that I'm getting you to do. I'm going to start with the simple thing. Draft an email. Okay, cool. 100%. Make the email sound more business formal. Make sure that you touch on the pain point of XYZ. Thanks. Add some bullet points to make it quicker to read. Right? And kind of go through. It's the same. And I think I may have said it on the automation podcast that I had with Cole previously. It's the same thing of kind of going, it's still a step-by-step. It's still a machine that is doing things. So if you can layer your prompts like it's a conversation back and forth in a model that is to be conversational, you're going to get better output rather than going, I'm going to be a perfectionist out of the gate and I'm going to make this beautiful and everything that I want exactly how I want it and exactly the formula. And then you're going to come back and go, it's still output crap. And you're going, yeah, because you still gave it so much to do that it was trying to make you happy in 20 different ways. And so then it just decided to do the best that it could with what it was given. And this is it versus going, yeah, I'm going to step by step this for you. I'm just going to give you one thing. And that's the other, I think, when I've watched other people prompt, the fact that you can tell it, I am going to feed you pieces of information. Do not prompt until I tell you I am done giving you the information. After you have it, ask me for the next one. And you can walk it through step by step and go, now I'm going to give you the next piece. Now I'm going to give you the next piece. Now please write this set of five emails or this brief or this large document or this process document. Also keeping in mind that no matter what you're using, Copilot, Gemini, ChatGPT, if it's within the same conversation, it's going to follow all of the historical data in that conversation. So treating it like your catch-all of making your grocery list and then writing a business email and doing whatever probably is going to create an interesting output because it's not quite sure what you're trying to get it to do versus going, I'm going to have a chat of my grocery list things or my random things that I ask it. I'm going to have my chat of LinkedIn posts that I ask it to write. And I'm going to have my chat of emails or whatever, which is, I think the beauty of what they did with Copilot of keeping it in the system that you're using it in is it already has that realm of context and things that you should be asking it to do. Meaning that if you go into Teams and say, make me a grocery list, it might do something, but it's the same way that if you came to me and said, write a security policy, and I'd look at Todd and go, I mean, I can, but I don't know if you want me to. Similar concept is the analogy that I'll go with there.
Yeah, as you're going through that, I was going to share the one gotcha I had was, I liked how you did that, was it was more iterative. One of the things I got stuck on is I was trying to get a specific output, I think is what was going on with me. And I had started my process and my prompting. And after I started to get close to what I was looking for, I started doing the catch of, now write it like this, now change it like that, now do this, now that. And then eventually I got to a point where I had actually gotten 180 degrees, 360 degrees back to where I started. And it was prompting me with the stuff that I had put in originally. And I was like, I think it's time to close that out and start over.
I agree. When you get so far in the tone and then you go to actually read the email and you're like, but you've changed what the email even says. And you're like, oh, we've gotten too far down.
Or too far.
Yep. Where then your prompt becomes, please look back at the original template and just change this one thing. And you're like, yep, we did too many things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think kind of wrapping it all around back to the beginning of AI, speaking to AI, I have sometimes in the end said, that's a great outcome. Please give me a prompt to get this again. And AI will know how it thinks and works, and it'll say, okay, next time ask for this first, this second, this third. You know, so like if you're getting good outcomes from your prompt, I would say go back and ask it, how did I get here? What information did you need? And then I just save that as a prompt for later. So you can, that interaction, that back and forth is really, really useful.
So smart. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Any of those, anything that you go, AI can probably do it better. Mm-hmm. It can also tell you what you did and give you feedback and go, hey, next time.
Hey, next time.
This. And you're like,
just stop.
Thanks.
I need you to do better. Understood.
Yeah. I had my quarterly review with my AI chatbot, and it was okay.
It's just a check-in.
And speaking of succession planning and quarterly reviews, yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, man. Well, to kind of wrap up a little bit, this is a difficult question to ask. I want to know sort of what we think the future will be, how prompting and Copilot and that interaction will change. Do you feel like you can see the next step, or is it going to be a while until there's the next big change in these language learning models?
Yeah, come join us at TechCon and we'll dig into it deeper. No, I kind of mentioned this. I kind of hinted at the agentic stuff. And, mm-hmm. and if you kind of look at how AI has been evolving, there has been a specific process that's been going involved, right? So, I mean, one of the big things that we were originally starting was create your data lake, this enormous amount of information that we need to be able to do anything with. And then from there, we started to build the LLMs, which was, how do I talk to AI and get information out? So I think while your question necessarily was probably more in that large language, everyday communication, I'd say the future of that tends to be what you see in sci-fi, where you're talking to your computers. The next step will be agentic, which I kind of alluded to, is now you're starting to have the tools do things for you where it can make small decisions, and you may have multiple agents that are capable of doing a specific thing as it's continuing to evolve. At some point, I mean, I would say what you're really going to see is you're going to see your droids and your robots is where it's going, is those would be the steps that I think are natural. There probably are other things that I'm not aware of at the moment, but getting the data, being able to communicate with the data, getting the data to do things, eventually putting it into a robot is kind of what seems like the natural progression. And while that doesn't sound like it's mind-blowing, it kind of is. I mean, it's amazing that the stuff that you saw in sci-fi 30, 50 years ago is coming to fruition.
And I just want a BB-8. I mean, that's really right. Mm-hmm. I'm like,
no,
he's really all I want, even though a BB-8 doesn't talk. But beyond the point, I just want something cute to follow me around. That's really what we're getting at. But I think that you're right on. And that was, I threw a link that we'll share here. But Ray, you hear about the ChatGPTs. They have Copilot agents, is what Copilot calls them. That's the agentic AI, but they made it in a way that you can go and make your own. Here I have a finance one. Here I have a marketing one. And it takes that data and only looks at the pieces, right? Takes out this human aspect of going, I'm going to go out there and sort all these things. And you're going, well, if I can pretty much create a marketing and a finance and an HR and a service and all of these things as agents and give them things and then prompt them to talk to each other, that's at least what I've been seeing on any of course, the social media algorithm that's trained right now is, it's all these people with these wide screen desktops that are going, here's the agent, and here's how I connected it, and this is how I built an entire company of AI agents. And I'm not saying that I'm looking at a crystal ball and going, yeah, it's the Shopify prove your job can't be done by AI. But I think the interesting piece of that is going, what in your job is redundant and could be done by an AI agent? So that you have time to have the creative, the fun, the bigger problem, wondering, hey, can we look at this data without having to sit there and spend an hour in Excel comparing spreadsheets? Because my brain does not love that. Kudos to anybody that does. But I think that in the future will be very interesting to say, what have we put a robot face or an easy app icon on? That's really a bunch of AI agents talking to each other in the background in order to get stuff outputted. That feels like how we use Alexa or Google or other things like that, because that'll be the interesting thing to open up your phone in the morning and have it go, here's what you need to look at. Also, here's the things that have been trending on Instagram. We know you normally doom scroll, but maybe think about going and meditating first. And I'd go, yep, you learned a little bit too much about my life right there, but Yeah, that'll be the interesting thing for both business and personal to see how that all fleshes out.
Yeah, when you said you wanted BB-8, I was thinking more along than any big Hero 6 finds out there. Baymax would have been what I was going after.
Mm-hmm.
He isn't going to be a superhero, but
I would still be totally fine with that. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Well, I hope so. I hope that's what we're getting in maybe a few years. We'll have a cute little robot. Who knows? Maybe there'll be a little robot on this podcast. That would be crazy.
I was going to say, one of the TechCon giveaways is a little AI robot that's super cute. That. So I don't know, if you're in the area, come TechCon, you might win an AI robot. It's adorable.
For sure. Love it. Well, thank you both for joining us today. I feel much more excited to go and check out and try out some prompting, and I recommend people just go and play.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. If you enjoyed this topic, please let us know. Like, subscribe, or reach out to us at info@cit-net.com or head out to our website, cit-net.com/podcast. We'll be back next week with an all-new episode.